Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning and welcome to the Arizona service today. It is not quite so bright today. It's actually cold and rainy, which is odd for Arizona, but that's okay. We'll take it when we can get it.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will adore His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, I will adore His court with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice for He's made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I will adore His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, I will adore His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Lift Him up, lift Him up, lift Him higher. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Him up, praise His name, all ye people. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw unto me. Lift Him up, lift Him up, lift Him higher. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Him up, praise His name, all ye people. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, I be lifted up from the earth, lift Him up, lift Him up, lift Him higher. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Him up, praise His name, all ye people. Lift Him higher than He's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. instead of I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher, lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people, lift him higher than he's ever been before. Burn and burn and burn and give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sitting here smiling because that song is such a perfect lead-in for what I believe the Lord has for me to share today. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. You can so easily run out of steam, especially when you're walking after the flesh and trying to do spiritual things with the flesh. I was thinking this weekend about my testimony in this regard. When I was a child, I don't think anybody ever would have said of me that I'm a fighter. I don't know that they would necessarily say it now, but I don't think anyone would ever have said I'm a fighter or that I push through things, that I work hard to achieve anything. Quitter, yes. Easy to give up, yes. Get burdened by and not push through. Yes, those are words that I, or say things that I think people would have said of me. Yesterday, we did an air gun shoot. And it's the first time in, I don't know if I've ever done it actually, but it's the first time I've done this kind of a shoot. We shot three targets. Each of them had 25 targets on each page. Excuse me. We shot three pages of targets. Each page had 25 bullseyes, targets on it. And we had an hour to shoot that. We took a break in between each sheet of a few minutes. But I remember a time when the idea of doing just that, just an hour's worth of shooting on targets in a competition with three other people, would have terrified me. I remember a time not too long ago when somebody who had beaten me before at even a simple shootout, I just wouldn't have shot against them because I may as well quit. If they're better than me, why bother trying? Well, yesterday, I shot all three targets, and I ended up coming first, which is a miracle in and of itself, because I'm not that great of a shot. And my husband's sitting here shaking his head, yes. He said, it's a really nice gun. It is. It was a really nice gun. But the point being, if you don't run the race to the end, you cannot win. if you quit halfway through, you're never going to win. The whole point of running a race is to finish it. Because if you're not going to finish it, then why bother starting it? There are a few scriptures that have come to mind with regard to this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is an awesome prize. That's better than any prize you could win on this earth. I didn't win anything. I just won the title of winner. But that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that's something to strive for. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Most of the time, the battle is in your mind. When you get wearied, it's all in your head. You can actually choose to strive further when you realize that it is in your mind, and that by conquering that, you use the word, you use Jesus Christ's power to get through these things. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's not by us. It's not like, oh, wow, yesterday I did a really good job and wow, look at me. No. That, I can tell you and testify, was by Jesus Christ alone. If you know me and you know how I shoot, then you will agree. The last scripture I had was 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When you sin, when you fall short, when I was shooting yesterday and I shot, it was amazing. I'd shoot one and it would be bullseye, like take out the whole center. The next shot, it would be off to the left somewhere. Then it would be back on bullseye. Then it would be off to the left somewhere. When it hit left, I didn't go, oh, forget it, I'm done, I can't do this. I'll never get a full, you know, a perfect score, so I may as well quit. I didn't do that. I kept shooting until the end of the target. I even took some spotter shots just to make sure that even in those, I was shooting left occasionally. But he is there for you to call on when you miss the mark. When you know you've missed that mark and you've fallen, then you get back up, you repent before him, you get back up and you keep going towards that mark. If you do not keep going, if you do not push through, if you do not use the tools the Lord has given you to overcome all the doubt and the fear and the whatever would come against you, you will not push through. You will not make it to the end. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want the prize of the end. I want to run to the very end and to make it. That is my goal. Let it be yours too. And I'm hoping that Ricky will share a story about some of the work we did this week with bullets, because I know he'd be better at it, but it was a real testimony to me of the crud in our lives and how Jesus is always there no matter what the crud is in your life. You can turn to him and keep pushing forward. Head towards that mark.
On the words of that song a little bit. I do like the idea, but you know, as I was singing it, it really quickened to me that it's not about adding more of Jesus to our life. It's really about getting rid of the stuff that's not of God and making him all of our life. So I don't know how we will work that around, but I trust the Lord will give it to us. So, I guess Sue really wants me to tell you guys about some stuff we did this week. So I'm going to skip it and just ignore it. No, I'm not going to do that. Nothing like setting me up to say, be sure to talk about this, Rick. Okay, so, we know the, let's see. We know Psalms 51, where it talks about creating me a clean heart. It's verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And we know that David's situation in that was after he had fallen with Bathsheba and had an illegitimate child, had her husband killed. And it was all pretty bad scene. And he was confronted with the word of God via Nathan the prophet. And unlike Saul, who stood and justified himself and had the kingdom and the spirit of God rent from him, David humbled himself, confessed his sin, and repented before God. And that spared his life. Because he recognized the fault of it was 1,000% his. It wasn't Bathsheba's fault. It wasn't her husband's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault but his own. And he said, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And I think and believe he was content to have the same judgment that he had set forth to have performed on the man that Nathan was referring to. He was content to have the same judgment performed on himself, because that was actually David's heart. Despite the mistakes, despite the problems, despite all the different things, he yet had a heart after God. Was it perfectly pure? No. Because that's why he is saying here, creating me a clean heart. He knows that in his heart is not pure, it is not clean, and it is not good. It is evil, and it is full of all kinds of stuff that is contrary to God, and he's begging the Lord, creating me a clean heart. See, if you have a clean heart, then all the things of this world become of none effect. Do you understand that it is all the impurities in our heart? It's all the impurities in our heart that dilute the knowledge of God in our heart. See, if we had a clean heart, if we had a pure heart, the things of this world would be of no consequence. We wouldn't care. It would be of no matter. It wouldn't be about having to do the things of God. It would be about getting to do the things of God. And I use that distinction. Boy, and I just catch myself all the time. Oh, I have to talk to Steve today. Really? You have to? Or you get to? The Lord knows where my heart's at when I say it, but I really don't even want to use that word, I have to, because it's not some sort of compulsion that I have to get up early on a Sunday and go get with Steve. I mean, it's early for us anyway, but I mean, to get up at 5 on a Sunday, I mean, come on, man. 5 a.m., it's so early. I mean, I get up at 5:30 on the weekday. I mean, 5 o'clock on a Sunday, have to go talk to Steve. I don't have to talk to you. I get to talk to you. My gosh, it's a privilege to have the opportunity to go to my discipler and say, hey, this is what's going on. Can you help me? God, to even have that as an option. I look at people around me. Oh, man, you talk about a bunch of people just no direction at all. And what's sad is that direction's available. It's not like they don't have an option. It's there. I mean, here's a big, you know, if you guys have watched movies. I don't know if you remember, you know, Evan Almighty Bruce Almighty. He's going down the road. Just give me a sign. And there's this truck full of signs blinking. Wrong way. Turn around. You know, warning. Just give me a sign. I look at some folks around me. I'm like, they're like, if I only had, I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Really? You don't see it. Okay. You can't make them see it. It's because their heart is so full of stuff that's not of God. And they resist the changing of their heart. You see, Saul, gosh, you know, God, if you look at the story of Saul, you'll see that God actually gave him a new heart. And he went back to his old heart. Go back and see if I'm right. God gave him a new heart. And he still yet preferred the things of this world and feared people and preferred that over God. And when he got caught in his lie, in his self-justification, instead of repenting and dropping on his knees, more than once, it was just, but I feared, but this Lord, but that. In every instance, we talked last week about the lust of the flesh being, it's unbelievable desire to justify itself. And you see that played out in Saul, even though God had given him a new heart. David here, recognizing all of this, he goes and he says, create in me a clean heart. because it was his heart that got him in the place, in that problem in the first place. What is it with man? It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And man, the enemy knows how to play that score. Gosh, he knows how to play it. And those impurities in your heart, they really can connect to those three things. Over here, if we skip to Psalms, I think it's 73. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Do you think it's important to have a clean heart? And this psalmist goes on to talk about how his heart isn't clean until he goes into the sanctuary of God and gets it cleaned up and he gets it resolved. And he sees that all of his stuff and all of his worry and all of his stress and all of his frustration were all stuff that was absolutely of no value and no consequences. But he didn't get that clarity until he came before God. Jesus talks about, now you are clean through what? The washing of the water of the word. Please forgive me if I got that slightly off, but I know it's the word that washes you. What got clean? Was it their flesh that somehow got made clean? No. It cleans their heart. This thing Sue was talking about today, boy, and I was struggling about how to make this relevant. Let me tell you what. And as I'm sitting in my thinking room after having talked with Steve and Dad and stuff, not about this at all, but about stuff, I say, Lord, I know there's something good here, and I know it's good because you talk about the act of this. Y'all are really curious now, aren't you? You talk about the act of this, and I know it's important, and I know it's relevant, but I don't know how it's relevant, and I know it's not about our flesh being made right, because that can't ever be made right, so where does it fit, Lord? And I hear Phil talking about loving one another, and I'm like, gosh, yeah, we've been on that subject, and that's sort of where I was going today otherwise, and I don't know, I think this may be a short service, praise God. I know y'all are cheering and all, but that's fine. And creating me a clean heart came to mind. So let me tell you what we did this week. See, I've had sitting on the shelf for over probably 2 years now, this Lyman lead smelting kit. There was a time a little while back, I thought, hey, how cool would it be to make your own bullets? That would be awesome. And I've got pounds and pounds and pounds of used lead that I've been collecting because we trap it and don't want it going everywhere. So I got buckets of the stuff, man. The problem with all this lead is it's just full of garbage. I mean, I shoot through paper targets and, hey, I shoot in the same trap. I may shoot some plastic BBs, some steel BBs, some lead pellets, some tin pellets. So it's really not all pure. It's got a lot of garbage in it, a whole bunch. And I was like, how am I going to get the lead out? Because the lead's what I want. I mean, not lead is all that precious and pure, but I mean, precious and expensive. But the other stuff is just garbage. I don't, in fact, to have that in what I need to make will just ruin it. So I have to get that out. I didn't know how to do it. Frankly, I let fear control me for 2 years. 2 years. You might think, Rick, just throw the stuff in the pot and heat it up. You know, for me, that seemed to be a real problem. For me, that was some sort of thing I just could not. The world might end. I just didn't know. It was like, well, there's fumes. Dude, do it outside. But it's hot. It could get real hot, 700 degrees. I mean, there was no logic to my fear. I mean, it was just stupid fear. Makes no sense. And it's something of, it's not like, well, we need you to do now. We need you to defuse this bomb. If you touch the wrong wire, black hole opens up, earth goes away, and we all die. wasn't anything like that. It was just melt some lead. And how hard is it? Just melt some lead. You put it in a pot, turn it on, wait till it's gone. Hey, there it is, melted lead. But for me, for some reason, this is just too much for me. So I got some guys that come into the shop now on a pretty regular basis, and we had some scheduling changes, and my buddy Cecil shows up, and he says, so what are we doing today? And I'm like, I don't know. Hey, I got an idea. You see that thing up there? Go, he heats some lead up. So I had him do it. Yes. That made perfect sense. So he said, okay. I mean, like, he went and took the little lead thing and read the, there was like instructions in the box. I didn't know they were in there. I don't know that I would have read them, but they were in there, instructions and like how to's and like everything I needed to do it was actually in the box. I never even opened the box. I was just like, I was afraid of it. Made no sense, but I was afraid of this silly lead melting thing. Goodness. So Cecil takes it and he, you know, he starts sorting the lead. I said, you know, uses a magnet to pull the BBs out. Like, I had thought of that actually. I hadn't done it, but we have these really powerful magnets, so that would probably work. So he's pulling the BBs out. So we get some sort of cleaned up lead and we dump it in, and, you know, and all the impurities, it's amazing. The lead's very heavy, and steel will actually float in lead. So if you miss a BB, it's no big deal. It just floats on the surface. It's kind of cool to see that liquid with metal floating on it. But there was all this other stuff in there. I mean, the paper, pull the paper out. We get the paper out, we get the plastic BBs before they, it's really stinky, get those out. And then there was more and more impurities that started to just collect on the surface. And we just take a little fork and you just skim it off and dump it into a pan. And you just keep doing it. You just let it heat. And those impurities just come off. And so we did this. So we got about, about 4.5-5 pounds of lead, you know, sort of melted down. We poured it into ingots because it actually came with a little ingot mold. I mean, everything we needed was in the box, a little ladle and the whole deal. So we get it all poured out in the ingots and we let it sit. And, you know, that was like stage one. So now we're going to do something with that lead. And we put the ingots back in the pot and heat them up. And, you know, there's still more impurities. We didn't get it all the first time. There's more skimming and more pulling the stuff out. And the Lord talks about silver tried in a fire, gold tried in a fire. That's sort of this process. See, you got to get the impurities out. And the only way that's going to happen in your life and in my life is heat gets applied. And all of that stuff that we don't even know is there. Now, I could look at my box of lead and say, yeah, it's full of some not stuff I want. But the ingots, they look pretty good. Okay, they look like, well, that's arrived. But I heated those up again, which I thought would be, you know, pure lead, right? No, it wasn't. We got most of it out the first time, but there was still some left. And that's the stuff you don't even know is there. You've been a believer for a while. You've been a Christian for a while. You profess Christ for a while. And you think you're there. You think you got it. Let the heat get turned up a little bit. And you're going to learn really quick, really quickly and really fast. You're going to learn what impurities are in your heart. Now, Brother Davey said something last week, and it was about love, and it's something that has stuck with me. And I hope you all get it. But he said, you don't have to die for me. You don't have to take a bullet for me. I forgot all the things he talked about to show me you love me. You just got to love me when I'm unlovable. You know how profound that is? Do you know? I mean, just think of it. Do you know how profound that is? How many times when your brother and sister are unlovable, do you have all the impurities come to the surface? And what do you do? Do you recognize them and toss them? Do you put them away? Do you put them aside? Do you put off the old man at that point? Or do you say, no, leave those in there. I need that. What do you do? See, when the heat gets applied and the impurities come to the surface, you know, God doesn't want a 99.9% pure heart. He wants 100% pure. You know, in our earthly abilities, we can't ever get there. But God can get there. God can get there. As I was watching that process, fascinated me. It was just like the coolest thing to me, because we have this absolute, it's trash. It's actually not even trash. It's hazardous trash. I mean, you can't, not supposed to just throw it in the trash can. You're supposed to like dispose of it in a hazmat type of way. I mean, this is dangerous material, and yet we turned it into something useful. I mean, the lead, we got rid of all the garbage and melted it down to as pure as we could get it in the little pot we had. And we poured it into the molds, and it made these perfect little bullets and these perfect little shiny round ball for black powder. Really, really cool. And that was, I just looked at that and went, wow, that was awesome. See, if we try and do something in our heart and it's so full of the garbage, gosh, we will not be successful in God. Just not going to happen. But if we let the Lord, if we embrace the heat, in a sense, I think Romans talks about, we glory in tribulations also, knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and spirit experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, means that we'll be disappointed. If when that heat is applied, we recognize the point of it, we recognize the use of it, we recognize the need of it, and the stuff that comes to the surface, don't resent the fact that it's coming to the surface. Don't resent the heat for bringing it to the surface. Thank God that He loves you enough to turn up the heat so that that stuff can get drawn off. And it's not a one-time deal. You know, it talks about silver tried in fire seven times. You know, it's been more than seven times for me. It is probably going to be more than seven times for you. But it will be as long as it needs to be for God to work with your heart, as long as you'll let Him. At the end of the day, we were making some really cool stuff out of that which was absolutely worthless when we started. You know, I hope that that's what God can say about us. When He sets us to do His work out in the world, and His will is accomplished, and He is glorified, and He can look down and say, yep, that was worthless, but one day it was worthless. But look at my servant. I don't know of a greater honor to be bestowed on anyone than other than God saying, enter in, my good and faithful servant. You certainly won't ever get there if you resent the heat of His purifying furnace. But if you embrace it, anything's possible. Anything's possible. Thank you.
restore to me, oh, the joy of thy salvation.
Thank you for joining us today.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.